This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Well, hello. This is the Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport with myself, Matt Beadle, and the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Bottas and Nick Draper. We are going to talk plenty of Wimbledon stuff over the course of the next hour. But before we begin, England have won the third test in the Ashes. I know, Kevin, you are particularly delighted about this because the fourth test at Old Trafford is coming up. Ben Stokes was a hero today. You can describe him as nothing other than a hero. And we go to Old Trafford with a chance of winning the Ashes, which a couple of days ago seemed absolutely inconceivable.
It was inconceivable this morning when Joe Root got out very early. And I thought, I was going to spend the day switching between the two football matches on Sky and the cricket. And then after Joe Root was out early, I thought, no, I'll just watch football. And kept switching back, and we hadn't lost any more wickets. And in a Bournemouth-Man City game, I got a bit bored, only watching it to see Aaron Ramsdale play. And then I watched the cricket, so I didn't see any of the other games. But yeah, it was incredible. It's the finest game or day of cricket I've seen since 1981, which ages me horribly. But 81 was the eight Ashes. England-Australia at Headingley again, strangely enough. Mm-hmm. And England won with odds of 500 to 1 against. And this is the best day of cricket I've seen since. Thank you.
Okay.
I know you don't like cricket much, and Nick has never said the word, have you? Have you ever said the word cricket?
I can't bring myself to say that word.
You can't pronounce it, can you?
I think if I say it, I'm just going to fall asleep.
Fine.
It's been a very good summer of cricket, I would say. Well, my fear about the Ashes was that it would be a case of after the Lord Mayor's show. But that's enough about cricket, mate, because this is the AFC Wimbledon fan show. We must talk about AFC Wimbledon.
Yes, we must.
Now, a 3-1 defeat against Sunderland yesterday, still without a win in League One. Nick, welcome to the show, by the way. We haven't done a show together, so it's great
first
to have
time.
You on.
Yes.
First time. What do you make of that result?
It wasn't unexpected that we were going to lose at Sunderland. I don't think anyone is surprised by the defeat. I think we are just a little bit concerned about the manner of it, and especially the second half, in which I think we could have lost quite heavily and we couldn't have had any complaints. So the worry when we've gone, what are we now, 6 without a win this season in all competitions and 1 win in 12 going back to last season, and yes, we've had a tough start this season with we think probably four of the top 6 to 8 teams that we've come up against so far. So you do have that in the back of your mind, but you also know that the longer you go without picking up a win, the more confidence takes a knock, and that second half on Saturday is going to affect confidence, I think, going forward, because we were really torn apart at times.
Interesting. I mean, this was a very difficult couple of games this week. You were at the Ipswich game, I believe, Kevin?
Yep, we both were, yeah. Mm-hmm. We went together. We sat together. We were kind of...
Sung together. You ate together.
We sung
you
together.
Danced.
No, we did. We did all of those things.
We
did dance together. So for 80 minutes, we were kind of thinking, surely not. You had that feeling of that Blackburn away game in the second season of League One, where we took an early lead and sat on it.
Yeah.
And somehow won that game. This game had exactly that feeling until they scored.
Yeah.
And then when they score, I sat down for the first time in the game. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, we'll lose this. And as I discovered after the game, I was not alone in thinking, we'll lose this. Mm. It just seemed like a matter of time that we would lose it because of the substitution. We're going to talk about subs in a minute. But yeah, Tuesday was encouraging up to a point, and then really discouraging with the way the subs worked. A friend of mine, Austin, who won't be listening because he's currently on holiday in Greece, big Ipswich Town fan, watched the game on, I guess, iFollow, and said that, in his opinion, the substitutions won the game for Ipswich. Yep. And I said, whose? And he said, well, yours. And I think that's probably quite fair. Mm. That our substitutions won the game for Ipswich.
Yeah, we invited pressure. We said, with the substitutions, we said, look, our part is done. It's now up to you to try and break us down. Unfortunately, when you make a defensive substitution like we did, you just invite pressure, and teams push you back and push you back, and they pushed us further and further back, and it was only a matter of time before we broke. It was similar to Blackburn in terms of, I was thinking the same as you, Kevin. It was exactly the same. I remember away at Blackburn that season, correct me if I'm wrong, it was Quezzy that scored.
It was.
There was a big moment where they got this one huge chance. Was it Dak that had the chance? Which George Long made an incredible save from. And you thought, that's probably what's going to happen. They're going to get one chance, and Nathan Trott's going to make the save, and we're all going to get our first clean sheet and our first win of the season. But then, unfortunately,
that didn't happen.
He's not George Long and he's not Aaron Ramsdale, and corner comes in, they equalise, and then we give it away in injury time.
So I've got to bring something up here, fellas, because this is the fourth or fifth AFC Wimbledon show I've done, and on every single show, Aaron Ramsdale has been mentioned. Now, I know he was quite a pivotal player for AFC Wimbledon last season. He was a lone player from Bournemouth.
Yes, he was.
He's no longer an AFC Wimbledon player, but I feel like he's mentioned in every single show.
Well, we're obsessed with him.
I have a room, my little living room. It's just got one chair, just covered in pictures of Aaron Ramsdale.
The shrine to Ramsdale.
It is kind of... It's because he was so good. I mean, he's now first choice for Bournemouth. But you look at the last three keepers we had on loan, the good ones. You've got him on loan. We had him on loan. He's now first choice in the Premiership. You know, Keller, Roos and George Long on loan, and now they're first choice in the Championship. We've had some really good keepers. Mm-hmm. And I think he did make such a difference, and he fitted in so well as a person as well as a player. We do miss him. And you miss his goalkeeping ability, but we miss the personality that he brought to the game. Not the laughing and joking stuff, that's fine. And the singing songs in Bradford, lovely. The personality on the pitch, which Nathan Trott doesn't have yet. He may well have it, but he's 19. He seems like a lot quieter character.
Yeah,
and that's fine, nothing wrong with that. As I said before, not everyone's a leader. And as soon as you know you're not a leader, the better. Mm. And as soon as the management know you're not a leader, so giving Joe Pickett the armband, no, in my opinion, not a leader. Some people just aren't, and he isn't. It's not a criticism. So, yeah, we do mention him. We won't mention his name again. We don't mention him a lot because we miss his presence hugely.
So what time, Nick, does the club need to maybe look at it and go, do you know what, we need to have our own number one, because we've got another loan keeper in Nathan Trott coming in this season. At what point do you go, do you know what, maybe we need an AFC Wimbledon goalkeeper who's going to commit 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 seasons to the club and he's going to be one of our own?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could argue that the time for that was probably when James Shea came back into the squad. So when we got promoted from League Two, Kelle Roos obviously was our lone goalkeeper for the final, or the second half of that season, really. Yeah. But after that, we started the first season in League One. We put and tried with Ryan Clark. And I think that was the management trying to say, this is a Wimbledon player that we've got now. He was quite experienced and what have you. But James Shea was still young. He came back in after the Ryan Clark didn't work. He came back in and played the rest of the season. And we thought, great, we were all happy with James Shea. He had an excellent season. I don't think it would be unfair to suggest he was in the running for Player of the Year that year. But then, come the end of the season, it was kind of like, well, then they got George Long in, and Neil Ardley had a decision to make, and he made the decision to let James go. And James went on to Luton, and he became a League One champion with Luton. And that was probably a mistake in hindsight. I think James Shea would still be our goalkeeper today had we not got rid of him. And that's probably your argument there, is he would have been the one. Now, what we have got is Joe McDonnell and Nick Zanev, young goalkeepers as well, that we'd look to develop. But we let, again, Joe, at the end of the season, he's back with us now, but he actually did leave because we didn't look like he was going to be in Wally's plans. Nick Zanev is our young goalkeeper that we're looking to obviously develop. But once again, how do you develop him if you're not going to get games and if you're going to keep progressing? I don't know the answer to it. Really, the answer to your question is we should be doing it now. But it seems almost as if we're banking everything on just staying in the division and taking any advantage we can get to build a squad good enough for the here and now just to keep us in League One until we get the stadium, and then we can start to progress because we'll have all the resources that come with it that we don't have currently.
But the issue when James Shea was let go in that summer of 2017, apparently it was Ashley Bayes, wasn't it? Ashley Bayes, our goalkeeping coach, said, I don't think he's quite what we need. The phrase that was trotted out at the time, sorry, like a Nathan Trott pun, the trotted out at the time...
I'd expect nothing less.
No, of course, you should know this by now. Was that James Shea was a good goalkeeper who made good saves. But what they needed was a great goalkeeper that made great saves. And they got Ryan Clark in. Which was unfortunate because he had some issues, didn't he?
Yeah, it didn't work.
And it didn't work for him at all. Obviously, George Long and the second goalkeeper, who shan't mention again, were great goalkeepers who made great saves. But they needed to make great saves.
But as you say, they were also loud characters.
Yeah.
In a way, James Shea is a great character. No one has bad words to say about James Shea. He's a great person to have in the squad, but he wasn't necessarily loud or in the way that George Long was and the way that certainly Aaron Ramsdale was. And that just brings us back to this whole problem of Yeah, sorry. It brings us back to the old problem of leaders in the squad. We say it every week on the podcast. Leaders, leaders, leaders. We don't have them. And is that more of a miss than the goalkeeping skills that you're discussing? I don't know.
Well, that was one end of the pitch. The other end of the pitch, of course, a third game this season with just one shot on target. Yeah. However, that goal from Kwezi was the only shot, 100% productivity. Let's look at the positives, gents.
Yes. it is a positive because I don't think any club in the Football League can have a better goals to shots on target ratio than we do, surely.
It's efficiency. I'll tell you what, I'd like to mention, it's the same kind of point. But on our Facebook pages, well, not ours, but the Wimbledon fans one, Lawrence Lowne made an excellent point. He said he's been watching football for...
Lawrence
Lowne. I think you do know him, Nick. I think, yeah, you might know him.
Doesn't ring any bells.
No, he's probably listening. I know he's thinking, you do know him. You might know him.
Evening, Lawrence.
Lawrence has been watching football. I used to work opposite him many years ago. So he's been a Wimbledon fan for over 50 years. And he said that it's the quietest squad in terms of actual physical noise that he's ever come across. And that's a really good point.
It's quieter than Vicarage Road on Saturday afternoon.
I'm not saying anything, but yeah, it's a fair point that we don't have a Barry Fuller or a Danny Ballman or that kind of character that will grab you by the lapels and tell you to try a little bit harder in a different kind of phrase. We don't have that. We need someone like that. We haven't got it.
Will Nightingale, Nick, a return, which is a positive?
Again, that is a positive. It's going to be fascinating. Well, it's not going to be fascinating because...
it's going to be horrible.
Yeah, because I was going to say it's going to be interesting to see where Will, when he gets his first start back in the team, where Wally decides to play him, because his one appearance this season, he was played in midfield and we played with the three centre-halves, Callum Bailey, Thomas and Rod McDonald. Now, Rod, we understand, picked up a knock. We don't know how bad it is yesterday. He had to come off, so we finished the game with 10 men yesterday.
We'll ask him. We can ask him now, can't we?
We can ask him. Rob McDonald is coming up on the show later. Yes, thank you, Kevin.
Okay,
that's another plug.
We can ask Rod.
We'll ask Rod. How's your whatever it is?
Yes, what happened at the end of the game? But if Rod has got a knock and he is going to be out, we're purely speculating, but obviously that solves the problem of Will, because Will comes straight in at centre half. But it'd be interesting to see if Rod is fit, if Will comes back in and is that sort of more defensively minded midfielder like he did. Well, like he did. What terrible phrasing that is. What terrible verb that is. Like he did, but I'm going to keep with it, for the Rotherham game on the opening day, where he was, in a lot of respects, he gave us a kick up the backside in that second half, Will, because he was the one that was pressuring players, making tackles, getting the crowd up after what was a really poor first half performance that day. I think we've missed that sort of performance since.
Yeah.
A lot of I use the word busy, haven't I, for our midfield in terms of Wagstaff and Callum Riley. They're busy. Yeah. They're not your Trotter or Soares that are very
unbusy.
Yes, more relaxed, shall we say, in midfield. They get about, but do they put in those challenges? Are they winning the ball back? Particularly, are we getting much out of them in that terms? Not as much as perhaps we were Will that day.
Plenty more coming up on the Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport with myself, Matt Beadle, and the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Bottas and Nick Draper.
Almost. You're mixing me up with my brother, Valeri.
Sorry?
That's right, it's not my surname. It's funny, Karen.
Go on.
It's Boras with an R. Two R's. It's
fine. Why don't you remind me that at the start?
I didn't
said
want to be
why
rude.
Have I got Bottas in my head?
You're thinking of Valeri Bottas.
I am thinking of Valeri Bottas.
That's okay.
I apologise, okay. Kevin.
No, absolutely.
Wholeheartedly.
Fine. Matt, it's not a problem.
I feel like I'm going to call you Bottas from now on.
You can do that. You can take it.
Valeri Bottas.
F1, Formula 1.
Driver. Oh, my word.
He's the one that's not Lewis Hamilton.
Cricket, Formula 1, it could be golf next.
Apologise, Kevin, that's terrible. No,
it's
we've spent
fun.
many minutes together
we
in this
have.
Studio.
It's not a problem, honestly.
I'm going to stick to first names from now on. And speaking of first names, Stuart has got in touch with us, Stuart Larkman, on Twitter.
There's another Stuart.
No, he has said the coaching appears to have gone AWOL this season. Too many changes to the backroom staff, maybe.
Well, that's we had a long drive back from Ipswich on Tuesday due to many roads, including the M25, being shut. It took 3 hours to get home. We did talk about the game, and that was one of the things we discussed. So, Stuart, I you know, whether we agree with exactly your point or not, it's something that's come up a lot, and we don't know what's going on there, because what we do know is that last season there was 8 management and coaching staff, including fitness coaches and that kind of stuff. There's now 14. So we've got 6 extra backroom staff, including a nutritionist and a nutritionist, I guess. I don't know. But there's now 14 backroom staff, including management, coaches and whatever else. Of course, we had Vaughan Ryan coming in in place of Simon Bassey. I don't know what those other people do, but they haven't yet shown anything massively positive because we've got a point from five games and we've lost in the cup.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's a good question. I would love to have a distinct answer for Stuart, but I'm with him on the idea of have those extra six people done anything positive?
Mm. Nick?
I'm just thinking that we've always had like a, I'd call it a skeleton staff because of the nature of the way we are as a club and scant resources. And you could argue that every year since we've been in League One, it appears that the amount of backroom staff in terms of the football side of things has increased season on season, which is in direct inverse proportion to our success on the field because we've gone backwards every single season. Fewer points, lower in the league every year we've been in League One. So, I mean, I don't know what that says, but... I'm not sure. The thing is, with these things, it's always impossible to know because we don't really know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know what goes on at training. We don't know what these people are actually doing. But I do know that as a personal opinion, and this is nothing to do with the fact that I sponsored his kit last season, but I am gutted that Simon Bassey is no longer with us because not only do I think was he completely underrated in terms of his football knowledge, I also think he was our link to the first season as AFC Wimbledon, our link to the Combined Counties League. He was the first AFC Wimbledon player to ever receive a booking. And I think...
That's great stat.
Yes, he was, yeah.
He really was.
Yeah.
And I think some part of that, we're now entering a phase of... I'm very much a Wimbledon... we've had this conversation. I'm very much a Wimbledon FC person because that's what I grew up with, and the same with Kevin and what have you. But AFC Wimbledon since 2002... There is a slight difference from that this entity from the previous. There is, and Simon Bassey was our AFC Wimbledon sort of almost heart and soul kind of thing. We don't have that anymore, and I think then I don't know if that's an issue or not. But I think I'd rather have him involved than not involved. I think we've lost out there.
Okay. Yeah, I think we said before that my friends I stand with in the Ryegas stand. Was there not a role he could have done? If he's not going to be involved in coaching, there could be a performance analysis or something. But yeah, I agree. It's a shame. It was one of his players come and go, and he was like, oh, that's a shame. When other players leave, you don't want them to leave, but you know they're going to. But with Simon leaving, there's something odd about it. Just felt like it was disappointing that he'd left.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it's true or not. He didn't leave in a way that he was massively pleased about either. Yeah. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. I can speculate. It's the radio. Hey.
You love to speculate, Kevin.
Am I allowed to?
I said you love to.
Oh, do I? Yes, I love to speak. Like, yeah, it's part of what I'm here for, I think. But it was supposedly he wasn't happy. There's a way to let someone go. And there's a way to not let someone go. And I have a horrible feeling that he didn't leave quite as he'd expected to. But we do miss his tactical nous as well. I don't know. I still haven't yet found out what Vaughan Ryan's advantage over Simon Bassey is.
He's cheaper,
other than the fact that he's apparently cheaper.
Yeah.
Because if you watch in the warm-up, when we do shooting practice, so he's the wall, the players pass the ball to him, he touches it off and they shoot, his touch is shocking. But then again, those old enough, like me, to have seen Vaughan play, that's not a huge surprise. Because he wasn't a great player. He was decent enough. He played for us in the old First Division 80-odd times, but yeah.
He also has no surname, which is a big problem for me.
He's got two first names.
Yeah, he's got two first names, which is a bit of a worry. Always tough.
What do you think? Get in touch with us, 0208 7020 558. You can do that on WhatsApp as well. And on the socials, at Love Sport Radio. Nick, we're going to move on to the midfield now, because anonymous for you at the weekend.
It's quite interesting the way you said we're going to move on to the midfield now, because that's something our team doesn't do. It just bypasses midfield completely.
What would be nice if we just didn't talk about the midfield at all. We just completely bypassed them and started talking about the attack.
I think there was one game this season, possibly Accrington from memory, where what the midfield started to do well was, because we were knocking it long all the time up to our front two, but they were actually, Riley in particular, was actually pushing himself further forward, so when the second ball dropped, he was the first on there to sort of collect it, and that helped keep the pressure up. We've not done that at any other time since, and it's not a criticism of the ability of the players, it's just the way we're set up to play the game at the moment. And our centre halves, it seems to be our tactic, seems to be get it to the centre halves or the goalkeeper, play it long, see what happens. Doesn't seem to be any coherent attacking play from us, and a big part of that is you've got a midfield that we're not using. And certainly in Anthony Hartigan, which is just the biggest quandary, is that the right word? You could argue it is the biggest quandary of this season. A player that's got so much ability that can pick passes and has got great vision, technically, arguably the best, most technically sound player in the whole team.
Yep.
And we're getting nothing out of him because his strengths are getting on the ball, picking passes, dictating tempo, dictating play. He's not a defensive midfielder. He can't tackle. I had a running joke last season with him and Anthony Wordsworth in the fact that I've never seen two players go in to tackle more without ever actually tackling. Never does. It's just not his game, though. It's not his strength. So really, with him, there's no point in it. It sounds harsh. There's no point in being in the team because his strengths we do not play to, so he is essentially just making up the numbers.
But we can... I agree with that. I do like him. I know his dad listens to the programme too. And this is not criticism of him. No, you haven't criticised him either. But he's like a passenger. As Stuart Deakins incorrectly said on the podcast, he's like he's a line judge at the tennis.
A line judge?
He didn't mean line judge. He meant umpire. But Anthony's spending most of the game looking above him as the ball goes one way and then the ball goes the other way and it's gone past him. Like my voice is doing in your ears, listeners. I'm going to talk over here and then coming this way. And then
Oh, it actually does as well. That's really freaky.
I know, isn't it? quadraphonic training. All right. Anyway, so
it's a good film.
The ball just goes over his head. But he's a very good player. He's not particularly quick. We know that. He's not a particularly great tackler. We know that. But what he does, he has that, again, I'm going to bring another sport in. He's got that quarterback thing where he picks the ball up in front of the defence and will look up and ping a 50-yard ball at someone's feet.
Yeah.
And you can do that as well as anyone probably in our division can do it. But we're not playing to his strengths. And then we take him off and we bring Shane McLaughlin on. I'm not sure what his strengths are. Haven't found them yet. And we keep bringing players on. We're talking about substitution. Let's talk about now. The subs that come on don't come on in the positions that they are more comfortable in.
So Saturday was Pinnock for Connolly and Falivi for Riley, right? And you're not happy with that?
No. Because we were losing and you bring the most potent attacker off and bring on a winger and stick him up front when we've got two forwards on the bench. Mm. You've got Joe Piggott on the bench. Now, we don't know why Joe Piggott's not playing. He's not fit. He's not unfit. He didn't play particularly well. But
is it because he's gone through a bad patch of late and quite emphatically bad patch, unlike what we're used to seeing from Piggott?
He's not been that bad. He's not been great. But he's always like to score a goal. People criticise him if he doesn't jump. He doesn't jump. We know this. He's not a target man because he's 6'2". People think he's a target man. He's not a target man. He plays like he's 5'8". Mm. Right? But that's just how he is. So you've got him on the bench and you've got Adam Roscoe on the bench who's now been subbed for the last three league games or four league games and the cup game. Not been on the pitch.
Yeah.
So why have two forwards on the bench and bring on a winger and stick him up front when you take a forward off? I don't understand that. If you're going to change the formation to a positive one. So when we're like on Tuesday Ipswich, we're 1-0 up, we make subs and we just completely hand the impetus to Ipswich on a plate and go 30 yards further back.
Yeah.
And every time one of our players had the ball, there's nobody out front, they just hoofed it into space. Ipswich got the ball, everyone moved forward again, it's just a matter of time before they scored. And then Sunderland, the same thing kind of happened, although we were well beaten. Mm. The subs didn't make a positive impact whatsoever. Surely if you make subs, it's either go like for like, because someone's injured, you change the formation, you change the pattern, you try and hang on to a point, you try and hang on to 3 points, or you're losing and you try and win the game. Or get something out of it. The subs in the last two games have done none of those things.
I would argue the last three, actually, because Accrington was similarly baffling with midfielders coming on when we were trying to win the game against 10 men.
That's true. Yeah, I forgot about three. There must be a reason why Wally and Glynn have done that.
There's always reasons behind it. It would be nice if we could actually ask and find out what those reasons are, because they're not. Well, he's not picking names out of a hat, going, "Oh, who's it going to be this week?" It's not like you're playing youth football. It's just like everyone gets a go and everyone's got to have a turn where they only get so many minutes and what have you. So there's obviously going to be logic behind these substitutions. We just can't see it. The irony about the Connolly one yesterday was that actually on Tuesday night their right back was on a booking from about quite early in the second half.
Yeah.
Connolly would have been ideal just to be on in that position with his pace. Just essentially, Connolly just
Come
needs
to
kick it
foul.
Past
him
and chase his own pass to try and just put pressure on and get a foul and get him. It's just, and then we brought on Pinnock instead.
Yeah.
Oh, Pinnock. Let's not go there.
I have to just ask, obviously, you went to Ipswich in the week. A first trip for AFC Wimbledon to Ipswich. Enjoy it at Portman Road?
Oh, do you know what? Yes. Do you know what? I said to you, it was kind of like reminding me of back to the old Wimbledon days when we were in the Premier League. It was a big stadium, great atmosphere. Our fans were unreal on the evening, singing all game long. Really, really great. And it's a great, fantastic old stadium. I did really enjoy the Ipswich experience, except for obviously the result. The roar when they scored the winner was, I said to you, it's the loudest noise I've heard at an AFC Wimbledon game. I don't think I've heard a noise like that anywhere. I imagine when we scored at Wembley, it was louder. But when you're amongst it, you don't notice it. Mm. Being stood there, it wasn't a pleasant experience. It was like being back at Old Trafford and Highbury in those days, but anyway.
But it was good. I enjoyed seeing the statue of Bobby Robson. I took a great photograph of the silhouette of the statue of Bobby Robson. That was good. It's a proper football ground. It was quite funny that their fans were calling us a pub team on the way in, but on the way out they'd celebrated like they won the Champions League. Mm-hmm. It's funny how football fans change their opinions in 90 minutes. We shouldn't measure our season against the first four of the first five teams we've played. Because we do predictions before the season starts as a 90s podcast, and I had Rotherham, Fleetwood, Ipswich, and Sunderland as in my top eight.
Yeah,
I don't expect us to beat the top eight, but the way we've lost and the Accrington game where we almost lost to 10 men, that's the worry. That's when as Gary Fletcher said, he looked at the fixtures and thought, right, our season starts 31st of August against Wickham, and then now they're third, having won three and drawn two of their five games. Okay, the season starts on the 7th of September then. Okay.
No, blimey, no.
No, 14th of September, Shrewsbury at home. I'm genuinely looking at Shrewsbury. Yep. 14th of September as when our season starts.
Yep.
Well, is Wickham up next? We're going to be talking about that and plenty more after this.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is indeed Love Sport. I am Matt Beadle here on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show with the guys from the 9 Years podcast, Kevin Boras and Nick Draper. I'm delighted to say that we have AFC Wimbledon's very own Rod McDonald on the line right now. Rod, how are you doing?
Hi, Matt. I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, very great. Thanks, mate. Thanks so much for joining us on the show tonight. We're just going to run over a few things of AFC Wimbledon in the season so far. In the week just gone, of course, two defeats to Ipswich and Sunderland, but probably games that you perhaps would have gone into thinking if you got a point or 3 points would have been very good to come out of that. Two defeats, but how's your view on the season so far for AFC Wimbledon, and what's the mood like in the camp after this week?
Yeah, I think with the two games we've had in midweek, with obviously Ipswich and Sunderland, I thought we gave a good account of ourselves, especially against Ipswich and Sunderland at the weekend. But I think all the lads are in a positive mindset. We've had a difficult period. If you look at the games we played, Rotherham, Ipswich, even Fleetwood to a certain extent, they'll be pushing up there. And I think we gave a good account of ourselves. Just a bit. Obviously, we need to just tighten up a bit at the back, and I think we'll be okay.
Good. Hi, Rod. It's Kevin from the 9 Years podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Rod, first of all, I'm old enough to have seen your dad play, so I just thought I'd add that.
Don't let him know that, mate.
Well, maybe he's a good player. Rod, if Don's fans aren't aware, Rod's dad was Rodney McDonald, who played against us for Walsall in the mid-80s. Anyway, so that's true. It was Rodney, wasn't it, your dad?
Yes, it was.
So the question we have is, yesterday, obviously, we saw that you came off injured. What is the extent of your injury? Are you going to be out for any period of time?
Well, I'm in tomorrow morning, so we'll take it from there. Don't know how long or how quick I'll be back or anything, so I'm just going to go in tomorrow and then speak to the physio, Dougie, and then we'll take it from there, mate. But hopefully I'll be available for the game Saturday.
Good, because the follow-up question was, obviously now Will Nightingale is now back and fit. Chances are that maybe he's going to slot back into the defence. So do you think you've missed, as well as missing him as a defender, have you missed his organisational skills? I always remark that Will is very, very good at pointing, which I think is an underrated skill in a defender. Have you missed his organisational skills, do you think?
Yeah, Will's a very good player, and obviously Will brings his organisation skills, and obviously the way Will plays as well, he's a dominant character to have, and he's a good player, so missing out on all the players we have out injured, including Andy Wordsworth as well. We've got a couple of senior lads who you would like to have fit at the time, but that's the whole reason of having a squad.
Sure.
Hi, Rod. Nick here. Nice to speak to you. Quick question about quick question about yesterday's game. Disappointing, obviously, that we ended up losing there. We got back into it with the equaliser before half time. What was the sort of plan going into the second half? What did Wally say to you at half time in that situation, knowing that, you know, Sunderland, I guess you're expecting them to come at us second half. What was the idea? How do we think about going about it? And did the early goal in the second half really throw our plans off?
I think the early goal killed us a little bit, but the gaffer was like just telling us to go out there and play better than what we was, really, because we wasn't showing us how good we actually were. I think sometimes when you go to them big grounds, you tend to sit in a bit thinking, but when we did score a goal, I think the last 15 minutes we went out there and we attacked them well and pushed them back and put them a bit off. But I think the early goal just shook us off a bit, and then obviously they got on top from there on in.
Rod, have to ask, life at AFC Wimbledon, are you enjoying it with the guys, with the Wombles, happy to be there?
Yeah, I love it down here in London, especially with the team. It's probably the best team environment I've probably been in with the lads, like squad to squad. Like, even the situation when we were 10 points adrift last year, coming in training every day with the lads, you would not think the situation that we was in, if that makes sense. That's how good the lads made it feel and kept it going. And obviously, the fans seen that by how we stayed up at the end of the last season when we all came together. And that's what it's all about.
Rod, just a quick question, as you are a guest on the show. to just take away from football for a moment, got a question for you about tea making, if I can.
It's a very important question.
Very, very important question.
About what?
Making tea. You make a cup of tea?
Making tea.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
Yeah. When you make a cup of tea, Rod, when you make it, do you put the milk in first before the water, or do you put the milk in last?
Milk in last.
Oh, superstar. Fine. You can stay. Done. That's right. Good. That's it. That's
thanks,
good.
Rod.
That's it.
No, can I ask a football question now? Nick's got his tea making one. It's a question we have to ask everybody. Are you driving? Are you driving a forklift truck?
Yeah, well, it's big enough to be one of them, mate.
The question I had was, Peel, about talking on the pitch. We were saying that from where we are in the stands and behind the goal, we seem to be a reasonably quiet bunch of players. Now, I don't know whether that may not be true, but in the past we've had captains like Barry Fuller and Danny Kedwell and Danny Bullman, who are all very talkative players. Is it right? Have we got that right? Are you quite like a quiet bunch of players on a pitch? It doesn't seem like you have too many players shouting at each other. In a good way, if you make someone makes a mistake, no one's having a go at you. But who is the player that's going to get in your ear if you make a mistake? Or is that you? Is that your job?
To be fair, you got a couple of the experienced lads. So I would say Waggy, Quezzy, Pigs, myself, Cal Riley's coming, the new lad, Lukey. We all get onto each other, but I don't think we're screaming and shouting and effing and blinding at each other. It's more encouragement more than anything in that sense. So,
right. Okay, so it wasn't like a derogatory thing. It's just you don't appear to be a very kind of talkative bunch on the pitch, but everyone gets their point across in the end.
Yeah, everybody gets the point across in the end, yeah.
And Thank you.
Looking ahead to next weekend, Rod, obviously Wickham at home. What's the plan going into that one?
I think it's the same plan as every game. You're going to win. And that's the bottom line of it. Especially at home, you want to win every home game you play, really.
Awesome. Rod McDonald, thank you very much for joining us. Great for coming
Cheers,
on.
Cheers, Rod.
That was Rod McDonald. Now, Nick, why are you asking him about tea?
Because this is what we always do. Yeah. And thankfully, Rod can stay, because he gave the right answer.
So what's the right answer?
The right answer is that you put the milk in last. You put the bag first in the mug and then you put the milk in last. And any other way is just, well, quite frankly, I don't know why people should just stop living if they do it any other way, because it's ridiculous. So Rod can stay, and probably in line for Player of the Year award now because he's given the right answer. Unlike somebody we won't mention, James Shea.
He doesn't make tea in the right way.
He says he does now. He says he does now. In fact, to the point where last season, Luton Town actually put out a tweet asking for questions from fans for James Shea, and we put in a question that got into the Luton programme asking him, had he now realised? And he said, yes, now he has realised his mistake, and he puts the milk in last.
Well, I mean, hearing from Rod there on the show, I think the thing that I took from that is that he does... It all seems quite positive in terms of the team spirit in the camp.
That's a good sign.
Yeah.
What I had forgotten until he spoke was he was actually from Liverpool. Completely forgot. I thought he was from Birmingham. Then I realised he's actually a scouter because his dad was also from that area. But anyway, yeah, it's good to know, isn't it? That they get on. That was the point at the end of the season, the Bradford game. You could just tell that was a bunch of people who got on. Does it matter? Probably not, because you look at our greatest teams in the 80s and 90s, Laurie Sanchez and John Fashion, who hated each other. Mm-hmm. However, they played together brilliantly. And then, you know, you look at Sheringham and Cole. Haven't spoken for 20 years, but they were together. They were fantastic.
Stuart and I do the podcast every week. We can't stand each other.
No, you hate each other, don't you? Yeah. Everyone hates everybody on the podcast.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. But I think it was an interesting way of how that team gelled last year with lone players, younger players, older experienced players. Mm-hmm. They just seem to gel, which, if Rod is saying they have gelled, then that's a good sign. It's not necessarily showing on the pitch yet, but maybe, as I said, we're measuring our performances against four of the top, my top eight. So
yeah, I mean, you look at the Acton games, then the other game in the League Cup, where you sort of feel like we've let ourselves down there, and that those two games are a worry. But
yeah,
it is nice to hear from Rod. You know what? Really nice guy, really like personable, really amiable sort of guy. I don't know if we hear from him enough. I can't recall ever hearing from Rod McDonald.
I'd never heard him speak.
No. So I think that's probably, and you know what, that goes a long way, because that's a five minute chat there with Rod McDonald, where I'm just thinking, wow, really warm to Rod just off the back of that, because he was really keen to chat, really open, really nice guy.
And he was driving.
Yes, possibly. I'm sure he's pulled over.
No, he wasn't driving, he was being driven. Yes.
And you know what, this is something that does get overlooked, because Rod didn't have to give up his time tonight.
No,
and
no,
he did.
Really.
You're talking about a Sunday, you're talking about a bank holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine he's probably spending time with his family, but he took 5, 6, 7 minutes out to appear on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. I'm Rob McDonald. We thank you
for
that. We will be looking ahead to the Wickham game next.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Yes, it is the opposition view on Love Spur on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. Kevin's chatting away while I'm trying to intro the next section.
Very
Kevin, what are you talking about?
I'm asking a question about the Wickham fan we're going to be speaking to in a minute.
Okay, well, we are speaking to sports journalist and Wickham fan Ian Baker, looking ahead to that game against Wickham. Ian, thank you very much for joining us. How are you doing?
No problem, Matt. Good evening to you. Good evening to
everyone. Hi, Ian.
Great to have you on. Now, Ian, I understand that you are quite versed up on AFC Wimbledon. You know a lot about the club.
I know a lot about AFC Wimbledon, yeah. Yeah, I know a fair bit. It's great to see the new development at Plough Lane taking shape. As I was around the area not so long ago, and it was really great to see the club getting back on its feet.
If you'd like to invest, then you can.
Yeah, it's got spare 50 quid.
Not that the new club was ever not on its feet, but it's good to see football potentially being thriving in the Wimbledon area again.
We're getting there. But it's seriously, if you would like to invest, you can do so at cedars.com/AFC Wimbledon. We've got to say this, we're legally bound to ask anyone we speak to, any point in our life, if they'd like to invest in a club. Sorry, Matt, Ian, but please, yeah, carry on. But yeah, no, it's great.
I'll note that address, yes.
We're going home, and it's great at some point.
In terms of recent results, Ian, last season, 2-1 victories for AFC Wimbledon. The season before that, another 2-1 and a 1-1 draw. Over the past couple of years, you'd say that the AFC Wimbledon are a bit of a bogey side for Wickham.
Certainly seems that way. Definitely, I think it was a very big game last season that Wickham lost. But in the end, they got out of the trouble we were in. But at that point, when the defeat at Wimbledon came, it was creating a few worrying signs. But certainly, the form hasn't been great against Wimbledon recently. I don't quite know why that is, but they've not had the best of records recent times, really. They obviously need to address that Wickham for this game coming on Saturday, although I think they will do. They've on a very good start to the season and get in there, definitely.
Ian, you had quite a dramatic result yesterday. I'm guessing you must have fallen to the floor when the winner went in. But one player I wanted to ask you about was Darius Charles. Did he play yesterday?
Because
I know he played in the week, didn't he? after a long battle with injury.
Played in the week. Interesting story about Darius Charles in that he retired end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
He was told his career's over. He was never going to recover from the injury he had. And he said, no, I'm not going to accept that. So he returned for pre-season training on trial at Wickham and battled on, just did everything he could to persuade Gareth Ainsworth to give him a contract. And he actually turned vegan, clean eating,
wow,
to do everything in his power to remain as a professional football player. And his reward was a short-term contract, and due to a couple of injuries, he was drafted in last week at Fleetwood, and he also played on Saturday. So,
yeah,
it's quite a story. And I saw a couple of Wimbledon games when he played there, and he was immense. He really was a great player. And I was very excited as a Wickham fan when that signing was announced. Last season.
Yeah.
Very excited. And then I actually saw his debut at Portsmouth, and he was outstanding there in a 2-2 draw. Wickham going there and holding the then league leaders to a 2-2 draw, and Charles on his debut was amazing. I was thinking, hang on here, we've really got a player.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got a couple of injuries and then a big injury in November, and it looked like game over for him. But he's come back, and yeah, if he can stay fit, I think he's going to be a great player for Wickham. With problems defensively over the last couple of seasons, he would be, if he stays fit, he would be a really good player for Wickham.
He's a top quality player. When we signed him on loan, wasn't it? Was he free transfers? He was on loan, wasn't he, first?
Yeah,
when we signed him in our promotion season, he hadn't played. We joined Burton and got injured in pre-season, hadn't played, so he'd missed the best part of 6 months. Though, unfortunately, Darius's career has been dotted about with pretty serious injuries. He's never out for one game. He's always out for 10 or 15 games with big injuries. It's such a shame. Very, very good player. And we loved him. He played such a big role in our getting promotion out of League Two. Huge role. Him and Paul Robinson together were immense. And I don't think we'd have got out of that league without at least the two of them together, but without Darius at all.
Yeah,
definitely
and
not.
That team was full of characters, including Adebayo Akinfenwa.
Yep.
So, another one that's still going strong with you. And to be fair, how many years is now? Is this going into his third season with you now? Or is it his fourth now?
It's fourth, isn't it?
I think it's his fourth, which is unheard of for him, isn't it?
I looked at the stats recently. He's either getting on or has just beaten his best record per club in terms of appearances. Sets. I think he had two spells at Northampton, so he's probably had more spells, more total career appearances. But I think he's now into his record in terms of career appearances in one spell at a club for any club he's been at, which just goes to show just how much he loves playing for Wickham and how much he actually is loved by both the fans and management there.
But he's loved by every club he's played for.
Yeah,
every fan. Every club he's played for, I know, a fan of at least one or two fans, every club he's played for, except the team in Lithuania. And they loved him. He's just that kind of character, that kind of person that people take to because of he's not a massively talented player, but it's pure effort and training. Okay, he's a huge guy. I mean, he's always too big to play football, that kind of stuff. Proved everybody wrong. I think every time he takes to the pitch, he's proven people wrong. And I think that's at 37... doesn't need to do it. But
he's 37
great.
May, yeah. So it's
great. No, we love Bo.
Yep.
It is. I think everyone does. I think the amount of photos he has with people at away clubs.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Someone like him, he could easily have like security and usher him away from everyone, but he always gets the photos taken, signs the autographs, even after a 2-0 defeat away from home, he'd be scribbling down his name and pictures taken. It's great to see that someone respects the fans like that. I think even opposition fans can just respect just what he brings to the game.
Yeah, he's putting it back, isn't he? Puts it back.
Mm. Ian, before you go, boss, third in League One, 5 games, no defeat so far for the Blues. What's your prediction for next weekend?
It's a difficult one because, I think with the way Wickham are playing going forward, there's goals in that team. Unfortunately, Darius has not yet sorted out the defence. So, I mean, if he can, I would expect Wickham to win. But I think a 2-1 draw would probably be what I'd predict off the top of my head. But as we saw yesterday, there's a lot of unpredictability about things. So it could be any score.
Absolutely, it could be any score. Ian Baker, thank you very much for joining us. That was Ian Baker, sports journalist and ardent Wickham fan. He thinks a 2-2 draw, gents. What are you saying?
The fact they will concede 2 is pretty obvious, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not. There's no inside knowledge there. at the moment, I wouldn't mind a 2-2 draw.
Yeah, I think a few people said draws. I think Wickham haven't lost yet, so they're due one. Law of averages suggests that.
Yeah.
I mean, people were saying that Wickham at the start of the season were favourites, one of the favourites to go down. I think Wickham, I don't know. I surprisingly, they're not going to go down.
No, I think they've got too many good players for that. Yeah. I had them as 16th in my
oh, wow.
final table.
Oh, wow. Listen, chats, before we go, we're nearly at the end of the show. I just want to read out a tweet from Mark Hendricks. He's been in touch. We spoke about Hartigan earlier on. He says, for me, Hartigan is a young Effenberg, Stefan Effenberg type of player.
Wow. Is he in Neighbours?
He can... I don't know who that would be. Who are you thinking of? Effenberg?
Stephen Dennis. Right, yeah. I always get those two mixed.
So we just mentioned Paul Robinson. Now another one.
Yeah, there you go. Going to make him feel good.
What a link.
He can pick a pass like no other, but this is a problem playing 3-5-2. What do Kevin and Nick think we should try formation-wise to change things up? In a minute, fellas, if you can give me that, that would be great.
A 4-4-2, but I've got something to say. Nick, go for it, because I want to mention somebody that got hurt yesterday.
Let's just say 4-4-2.
4-4-2 is the answer. Our ladies team played Old Actonians away today in the league. Game was abandoned in injury time, I think it was. And Actonians players suffered a serious spinal injury. We wanted to send Nine Years Podcast best wishes to that player. We don't know her name, of course. We've not found the name. But very serious injury. And the game was abandoned. Ambulance took about an hour to come, which seems pretty unfortunate. But whoever she is, we send our best wishes.
Mm-hmm. We do indeed send our best wishes. This was the AFC Wimbledon fan show on Love Sport with the guys from the 9 Years Podcast, as always.
Thank you.
Kevin Borras, Bottas.
Thank you, Matt Bean.
Absolutely not. And Nick Draper, thank you for joining me, gents. We'll be back same time next week, 8 p.m. on Sunday. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. We'll be right back.